It wasn't supposed to be this way. It's all I could think as I listened to my friend Jen recount what her on-call experience had been like the night before. Many years ago, during my unit of clinical pastoral education, I sat in our group time the morning after my friend Jen had been on call as a chaplain at the Ohio State Medical Center. It was a regular experience for all of us, each of us taking a turn to make sure that the hospital was staffed with a chaplain during the overnight hours. Some of us were lucky enough not to get paged in when we were on call. Others of us had the experience like Jen. I listened as she recounted this page, having gotten a call to be with a new wife as she sat next to her new husband's bed. They were young, in their early 20s, probably about a year or two younger than I was at the time. They had gotten married 2 weeks before and then gone on their honeymoon. They came home and then his workplace called and said that they needed another person. Could he come in? He said that he could. He worked at a chemical plant, and while he was at work when he was not supposed to be, there was an explosion and he suffered serious burns over 90% of his body. I listened as Jen recounted with tears in her eyes how she sat next to his wife, listening to her as she cried. How none of them could believe that the till death do us part of their vows would be fulfilled only 2 weeks after making them. That this wasn't the life that they imagined, that she imagined. All of their plans and hopes for the future were ripped from them in one moment. I just kept thinking, it wasn't supposed to be this way. Which then led me to question where God was in the midst of all of this pain and sorrow. Not just for the woman and her family as they said their last goodbyes to her husband, but for the man whose wife had experienced seizures and then was declared brain dead. And for all of the cancer patients undergoing inpatient treatment at the James Hospital at OSU. Or the family who gathered around their dad's bedside as they removed life support and then waited for him to die. As I sat there, all I could think about was the pain that filled the hospital. I wondered where God was in the midst of it. It wasn't supposed to be like this. Not for them, and not for Joseph either. Joseph had been blessed as a child, clearly his father's favorite, as the text tells us before we get to today's reading. And like some teenage boys, he was kind of a jerk about it, especially to his brothers. So when Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan, they saw him from a distance, and before he came near to them, they conspired to kill him. But instead of killing him, some of his brothers stripped him of his robe and then sold him to the Ishmaelites. Now, Joseph was taken down to Egypt, we pick up with today's reading, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. It wasn't supposed to be like this. Even if he was a jerk to his brothers, he certainly didn't deserve to be sold into slavery by them, simply because they were jealous. He didn't deserve to be carted off to Egypt, the land that his people had come out of as slaves, and then be brought back as a slave. If that wasn't bad enough, it wasn't the end of his misfortune either. Eventually, after being trusted with almost everything by Potiphar, Potiphar's wife wants him to lie with her. I imagine that it would have been easy, maybe even tempting, to do that. To be able to be sleeping with Potiphar's wife while running his house and having access to all of the luxury that that entails, Potiphar none the wiser. But instead, Joseph decides to do the right thing. He says no, and he leaves, only to be thrown into jail for doing the thing that he didn't do. It wasn't supposed to be like this. Joseph's story often begs the question of why God would let this happen to him. Why would God allow one of his chosen people to be punished like this? First sold into slavery by his own brothers, and then unjustly condemned to prison. It wasn't supposed to be like this. Not for Joseph and not for us. None of us are immune from life's pain. Not Joseph, not me, and not you. Each of us, each of our lives is marked by periods of grief, sorrow, and misfortune. Women have known this for generations, aware that there is always the possibility of danger. Often that danger is thought to be lurking on a dark street at night when we're alone, or when we walk to our car in a dark parking lot. We've been taught how to take precautions so that we aren't a victim of the world around us. Never allowing ourselves to be alone in a room with a guy that we have just met, we always tell somebody when we go out on a date with someone that we've met on a dating app or a website. We've been told not to wear anything particularly revealing, lest a guy lose control, and to make sure that our drink is never out of our sight. Nevertheless, we are well aware that all of those precautions may not save us. Worse yet, a man that we know may be the one who hurts us. We are also acutely aware that when we speak up, when we tell our story, the world may not believe us. Instead, condemning our choice of clothing or asking why it is that we waited all these years. It isn't supposed to be this way. No matter what decisions we make, sometimes not only in spite of our choice to do the right thing, but because of our choice to do the right thing, we will run up against the greed, spite, vengeance, and anger of another person, just as Joseph did. Grief and loss will eventually come for us, often finding us when we least expect it. Any of these experiences can leave us asking the question where God is in the midst of them, wondering how it is that God could let something like this happen to us. It isn't supposed to be like this. And yet, it is like this. And God is in the midst of it. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. He was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hands. The Joseph story isn't so much about asking why God would let this happen, even if that is a legitimate question. Instead, it points to the truth of what God can do in terrible circumstances. The Lord was with Joseph. God never left, and God is working to bring life out of the death that exists in Joseph's life. As Joseph's anticipated life dies to the jealousy of his brothers, and then again when he is falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, God works to bring life and healing out of that death. Not only for Joseph, but for his family as well. Joseph's story ends with his father and brothers surviving a famine because they travel to Egypt in search of food, only to find Joseph there in charge of everything. The Lord was with Joseph, working to bring life out of death, just as God is doing the same for us. Whatever misfortune, pain, and sorrow our lives bring, God is there in the midst of it. God is with us, making sure that we can see that there is good in the world as much as there is pain, working to bring life out of death. And when we forget this, we only need to look to the cross. It's a reminder that God chooses to go into everything with us, even death and grief. And after God has already been there, in the worst parts of our lives, there is resurrection. Always.